I want to talk to you today, and I encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. This is our manual. Whether you have a Bible like this, old school, you say, Pastor, why don't you get a new Bible? You know what I mean? I don't know. I just like this one, so we're just going to stick with it, even though my dog ate a bunch of it. Hungry for the word. That's why I love Ryder so much. He's a godly dog. So, Pastor, are there dogs in heaven? I don't know. I know Ryder's going to heaven. You know what? My neighbor's dog's going straight to hell, though. I know that for sure. He's a bad dog. Don't get all upset. Okay. I want to talk to you today about the goodness of God. And I want to talk to you just from my heart. I believe this is a message from the Lord. And I believe it will benefit you. I think in the midst of, how many know the last, 4 months have been something, have they not? And whether it's the COVID thing or maybe it's something more specifically to you. You know, maybe it's... maybe it's trouble at work. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you are struggling with something in your family. Maybe it's your marriage. It could be a lot of things. But I want to encourage you today by some passages. How many know sometimes you just have to be encouraged? Sometimes you just have to be reminded. Come on, how many here? Somebody, you got to say amen louder because some of you have masks on. I can't hear you, okay? Well, encourage your pastor. How many know sometimes you got to come to church just to be encouraged? Amen. So important. You're in the middle of it and you're just like, and you got to, that's why, listen, don't miss church. So, Pastor, I think you just want me to come to church. Yeah, exactly, I do. But one of the reasons I do is because I know that it's tough out there. And you have to be reminded what the truth is. And there's times because of many times things that you're going through, you can start to think and start to question even the goodness of God. Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't know who said no way, but praise the Lord. I'm just talking about sometimes, am I the only one who vacillates sometimes? And it's the midst of those times that we start to question whether, you know what, the goodness of God in our life. I want to encourage you by looking at some scripture today. The first scripture I want to look at is the 34th Psalm. Psalm 34. Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible. So just close it, open up right in the middle of it. If you don't catch it, do it again, you'll catch it. The 34th Psalm. And something really interesting that we learn in the 34th Psalm. Look what it says. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. What? Huh? 19. Come on, you're led of the Spirit. You know. You know the Bible, right? Okay, I'm just joking. Okay. Psalm 34, 19 says, many of the afflictions of the righteous. And we can look at that and say, whoa. That must be a misprint. The translator must have got that wrong. Pastor, tell us what the Hebrew is. Well, the Hebrew translated many means, are you ready for this? It means a lot. It's a good translation. The translators didn't miss it here. They're saying, hey, listen, if you're a Christian, you're going to have, you know what, some afflictions. You're going to have some challenges. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You're going to have some situations. And that's what I want to teach you because it's in the midst, listen to me, it's in the midst of those situations that we sometimes think, I don't know, you know what, maybe I missed it. Maybe pastor's theology is wrong. No. Look at the text. Look at what it says. It's very clear. And I'm not here to deny. Because what? Because good hermeneutics, good Bible study says, you know what? That word many there, I can't, as much as I want to erase it, as much as I want to, you know what, cover that up, as much as I want to get my marker and not highlight it, but you know what, unhighlight it. I can't if I'm going to be accurate to the Word of God. It says many, and that's what it means. It means many. But I also want to keep on reading. Because if I keep on reading, I'm going to see what God says. And just like I have to believe that many means many, I have to believe what the first part says, I have to believe the second part too. Can you say amen to this? Amen. Look what it says. It says, I'm not used to this. I'm used to being inside where there's no wind. And many are the afflictions of the righteous, but... Amen. But the Lord delivers him out of, look what it says, them all. Can somebody say all?
Amen.
Delivers them out of them all. See, the all is the many. Oh, that's good. That's good hermeneutics, is it not, Pastor George? The all is the many. And if you're going to study the word, that's what it says. So listen, maybe you're going through some troubles. Maybe you're going through some trials. Maybe you're getting frustrated. You say, but Pastor, I've been believing for this for 3 months and it's still not happened. Pastor, I've been believing for this for 8 years and it's still not happened. But Pastor, listen, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying what the Bible says. There's times that we want our what we experience, you know what, we want that too, and it pulls us into a bad place, into a wrong place. It pulls us there, and we've got to be disciplined to say, no, I'm not going there. I can't go there. Can I tell you what Satan's probably his one of his number for sure one of his number one ways that he tries to get us. You know what it is? It's discouragement. Yeah, come on. Someone can say shout amen to this. It's discouragement. It's like, but Pastor, I've been believing for this for you know what, however long. And it pulls you into this, you know what, and Satan wants to pull you into this. Really, he wants to pull you into a place where you allow the things that are troubling on this earth, and you allow them to pull you into a, watch this, an acceptance of, well, I guess that's just the Lord's will. Can I preach to someone? You know what the Lord's will is? That he deliver you out of your mess. Amen. I like what one pastor said. He said, you know what? I'm not saying that Christians don't go through valleys. How many know we go through some valleys? But I like what he said. He said, but Christians aren't supposed to build a condo in the valley. Amen. No. And what I want to say is I want to declare today is not that we're not going to have any troubles, not that we're not going to have any challenges, not that life won't test you. What I'm telling you is the truth is that God has promised to deliver us from all those challenges, all those troubles, all those situations. God says, you know what, out of them all, I'm going to deliver you. And so, watch this. And so, do we trust God? Here's the question. Can we trust God? How many have ever ridden a bike? You know what I mean? Okay. Wait, let me ask you again. So, because how many have ever ridden a bike? Raise your hand if you've ever ridden a bike. Okay, good. I just check it. You know what? 30 seconds ago, a bunch of you hadn't ridden a bike. I was sad. You know, I'm thinking, man, I got to teach them how to ride a bike. Okay, so watch this. How many know God wants us to believe in his goodness, whether we're going uphill or whether we're going downhill? What's the downhill? The downhill is is the wee, man. Life is good. Amen. Life is fun. God is good. And at that point in time, God wants you to be dependent upon him. God wants you to trust him. How many know sometimes in the good times, really, this is what the Bible teaches. God says to the Israelites, when I bless you, when I take you out of the junk, of the bondage, and I'm gonna provide for you wells that you didn't dig and houses that you didn't build, and it's gonna be awesome. But when that happens, don't forget me. Sometimes we get so caught up in the stuff. You know, we need to listen to me. I don't know who I'm speaking to. I'm probably speaking to every single person who can not only hear me here, but can hear me, you know what, through the internet. We have to be careful that we don't get materialistic, because in our society, it's so easy to do that. And as we start to walk in the blessings of God, and it's ironic because, and that's what God says, it's like, oh my goodness, I blessed you, and now you've forgotten about me. You know, imagine taking your children to McDonald's. You know what? When Tyler was growing up, you know what? When he was a 14-year-old, you know what? How many know he could eat a couple of Big Macs, no problem? Okay, imagine I take Tyler, he's 14, I take him to McDonald's. He never did this, but imagine this. You take your 14-year-old to McDonald's. You buy him two Big Macs, and then he looks at you and says, Dad, I don't want one large fry, I want two large fries. You buy him a large fry, and you buy him a dollar drink, amen? I like McDonald's because I'm cheap, and you can get a large drink for a dollar, amen? I like that. I'm just being straight up with you, okay? And so, but you buy him two large fries, two Big Macs. You're sitting down with him, watch this, and you go, watch this, imagine this, and you go to take one of his fry in two large big, one of his fry, and when you take it, he slaps your hand. You remember when David was doing that thing with Bathsheba and who was the prophet who, or his friend? No, not David. Who was the guy who busted him? Nathan. Yeah, Nathan, right. And remember, he gave this story, and then David was upset. How many upset about Tyler not you slapping my hand down on that fry? Come on, raise your hand if you're upset. See, you know I'm setting you all up, all right? Okay. I think the truth is that's us. As God blesses us, and then all of a sudden we're too busy to have time for God. Oh God, you know what? Oh God, you know who needs to repent right now? Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. And the truth is, listen, God's not here. If you rose your hand, God's not here to condemn you. God is here to convict us of sin. That's one of the blessings of coming to church is, you know what? I mean, who's perfect? Raise your hand. Not me. Who needs some help today? Raise your hand. I do. And God will give us that help. But that's one of the things is as we're, wee, everything's good, wee, everything's fine, everything's easy. We say, oh, you know what, I'm too, you know what, my business is too successful now. I don't have time to serve anymore. You know, I'm not going to tithe. I'm tithe. Are you kidding? You know how big that tithe check would be now? Amen. Amen. See, people get all freaked out. You know what? But no. Just keep on being faithful to God in the good times. Be faithful when you're going downhill. Be faithful when you're going uphill. Oh, you missed a better time to say amen. Be faithful when you're going uphill. Be faithful when you're going uphill. Yeah, but it seems I don't understand what's God doing. I don't understand. Listen, I don't understand it all either. Here's what I know. That the Bible says there are going to be times, there are going to be challenges in our life. You know what? There are going to be all kinds of challenges in our life. But if we will be faithful, don't allow Satan to, in the midst of you going downhill, you forget about God. But don't allow Satan in the midst of going uphill, that you start to, watch this, that you start to question the goodness of God. Because that is the enemy's trick. You start to question the goodness of God. And you start to question it because it doesn't make sense to you. I've said this, and I want every person who can hear my voice, including on the internet, to hear what I'm saying. When we get to heaven, we will understand what the Bible says, what David wrote in Psalms, that God only does wondrous things. And all the times that we accused God of evil, we're going to think, we're going to be, you know what we're going to be? We're going to be down completely on our face. Because let me tell you about God. God is good. You know, you hear that saying, God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. You ever heard that? God is good. You're supposed to say all the time. And then all the time, God is good. Well, that, you know, kind of corny, but absolutely true. God is good whether you're going uphill, or God is good whether you're going downhill. He deserves our praise whether we're going downhill or whether we're going uphill. Amen. You know what? Oh, this is cool. I don't have to tell the sound people, hey, I'm going off script right now. I don't have to tell them that because it's all on me. We just read this. Look at Matthew. We just got done reading this. Look at Matthew chapter, where was it? Oh, man, come on. Where's my scholar? Where's Jonathan? Jonathan, it's in the 18th verse, and he says, why, when I think it's 18th verse, why do you judge me for being good when you're really you're evil? It's right after he's look at your Bible. It's right after. Ooh, praise the Lord. It's right after he's telling the guy of the denarius. No. It's just, yeah. That's right. The servants fell down. Do you see where it is, Jonathan? Sorry. Oh, 20. I know where it is now. Do I see it in my, yeah. Okay. It's 20 verse 15. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I do good? What's Jesus saying? He's saying, hey guys, sometimes you look at things and you're looking things with an, watch this, with an evil eye. Here, can I tell you the story of what happened? So Jesus, he tells this story. There's this guy, he wants to work. Jesus, God says, okay, I'm going to put you to work. And he says, at the end of the day, I'm going to give you a denarii. And the guy's like, yes, I have work. And then later on, he comes back later on in the day, and there's two other guys, or one other guy, is not working, and he says, hey, I'll put you to work, but it's later in the day. And then he does it again later in the day. And then 1 hour left, and he sees the guy not working. He says, you know what? Hey, you want to work? And the guy says, yeah. So then it's time for his pay, and he gives everyone a denarii. I'm going to teach you something. He gives everybody a denarii. And the guy who started working at 9 o'clock in the morning is like, what's up with that? And it's in that context that Jesus says, let me tell you what. He says, is it lawful for me to do what I want, what I wish with my own things? You start telling God what to do. And God says, no, whoa, 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 Jackson. But look what he says. Or is it your evil eye, or is your eye evil because I do good? I'm going to teach you something. You know what David did over and over and over again? How many like reading the Psalms? The Psalms ministered to me. Here's why. Because David was straight up with his emotions and his feelings. Hello? And he would look at the situations and sometimes look and see, man, trip out on this. Why, man, why is that guy over there? You know what? He's smoking weed. You know what? He's shacking up with his girlfriend. You know what? And I'm here. You know what? I don't smoke weed no more. You know what? I'm married. My girlfriend. I'm doing, you know, Pastor Drew says, and I'm doing all this stuff right. And I'm, you know, I are you kidding me? I'm even tithing now. You know what I mean? And I'm, you know, and this guy is, you know what, driving up in a car that's, you know what, brand new car, better than mine. He just got promoted. You know what? He does all this. And when we start to make all these judgments, and that's what David did. He's like, what's up with this? Watch this. What's wrong with you, God? This Christianity stuff don't work. Man, I was, you know what? I was better off when I was gang banging and smoking weed and cussing out my parents and doing all this other stuff. That was better for me. And we start to judge God. And I'm here to tell you, you know what? Stop questioning the goodness of God. God is good when we're going downhill, and God is good when we're going uphill. And that is the truth. He is good all the time. And all the time he is good. Well, why does that happen? Here's what happens. Because we are talking about McDonald's. Here's why that happens to Christians. Because we are McDonald mentality. We don't want to, listen, they've figured out we're not even going to have them wait in the traditional, you know, order a window one. And pick up a window two. You know why? That takes too long. You know what we're going to do now? We're going to buy our employees these funky hats. We're going to put umbrellas out there. And we're going to make them go out further in the line so we can get this going. How many trip out how effective that is? I'm like, man, I'd rather drive through. It's quicker to drive through than walk up nowadays. And we have that mentality. So what happens in our lives is we look and we go, you know what, if it doesn't happen, if we don't get the promotion in a year, we're like, oh my goodness, this stuff don't work. You know, some of you are waiting for your spouse, amen? Well, keep on waiting, amen? Amen. Come on, say amen to this. Keep on waiting. You know, don't marry the frog and you're going to miss out on the prince. Really? You know what? And you think, and you waited and you waited and you waited and you think, man, this isn't going to happen. God is not good. I've got to figure it out on my own. Because I can't be patient with what God wants for me. And what you start to do is question the goodness of God. And it's, I'm telling you what, because God is good, because God is good, do you start to have an evil eye? Because let me tell you about God. God will not only bless the righteous. This is in the Bible. God will not only bless the righteous, but God blesses the wicked. Oh, I don't get a bunch of amens on that. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Why? Because he's good. Because he loves. How many enjoy the sunshine today? Amen. How many enjoy the shade structure today? Can somebody say amen to this? Well, how many know we don't know? How many know at Hope Community Church, we don't have these signs that say, you know what, if you watch pornography this week, you're not welcome. You could come and sit in the shade structure. Maybe you freaked out on your parents this week. You can still come. You can still enjoy the shade. You can still enjoy the sun. You can still enjoy the birds. God has designed that not only for the righteous, but the wicked. The Bible says God brings the rain to the righteous and the wicked. The rain was blessing for agricultural-minded people. And God says, man, let me tell you what. I bless, for God, here, just so simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever will can come and accept Jesus. The blood of Jesus cleanses us, and that cleansing blood was poured out, you know what, for not only the righteous, but the wicked. Amen. Pastor, are you saying everybody's going to come into the family of God? I'm not saying that because the Bible doesn't teach that. But what I'm saying is, you know what, that God's will is that none would perish. Why? Because God is good. Why? Here, let me ask you this, you theologians. Why hasn't Christ come back yet? I know Pastor Paul knows. I know Pastor George knows. Why? Do you know why he hasn't come yet? Because, thank you. Amen. Here's why. Because his will is that none perish. So he's waiting. He's waiting. That's what the Bible says. He's waiting. Now, does that mean he's not going to come? No. Everything God says in the Word is going to happen. But why is he waiting? He's waiting because he loves people that don't even love him. Because God, and he's good to people who aren't even good to him. You don't believe me? Just go back, rerun your life 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 months ago when you could care less about God. What did he do? Man, he was merciful to you. Why? Because that's who God is. We used to sing a song. I loved it because it's kind of a rocking song. How many know I'm a rocker at heart? You know what I mean? And we used to sing this song. You know what? His name is Jesus, friend of sinners. Jesus is a friend of sinners. And watch this. And he's a friend of yours too. Turn to this passage. It is so phenomenal. Look at your neighbor and say, this is phenomenal. No, it's not good. It's phenomenal. Oh, my goodness. I have to find it. Oh, come on, help me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I found it. Psalm 72. Psalm 73. Now, before I go through this psalm, I wanted to tell you what's going to happen. David is ticked off. And he's ticked off because he sees his enemies prospering. It seems, everybody say seems. Everybody say seems. Let's say seems three times. Seems. It seems like the unrighteous are going to always prosper. But let me teach this to you. That is not true. So don't get on, again, your McDonald's thought, everything. If it doesn't happen in the next 30 seconds, it's not going to happen. No, that's not true. So it seems like they're prospering, and David's like, what is up with this, God? What is your problem? See, he starts being evil because of the goodness of God. Your position isn't to hate the unrighteous. Oh, let's park here for a minute, Christians. I said, let's park here for a minute, Christians. Our role isn't, you know what, to say, man, why are these people doing this? Why are they acting like that? They are evil, unrighteous people. Here's your position. Your position ought to be loving them and praying. You know, they are, how are they going to come to Christ? They're going to come to Christ not by you acting like them. You know, the Bible says, God says, even the unrighteous love their families. Our calling is to love people who aren't our families. Our calling is to love people who aren't unrighteous. Our calling is to pray for those people, not to criticize. I like what one pastor said. He said, you know what? Sinners sin. Oh, that's deep. Why do we act like that is so, you know what, crazy? No, they don't understand the love of God. And what's our role? Our role is to pray for them. David's not doing that. David is not only, watch this, and we can do that too. David is not only noticing that they're prospering, but he's criticizing God for this. So here's what he does. At the beginning, he talks about how foolish what he's about to do is. And then later, after he does it, and he talks about his foolishness, then he, at the end of this chapter, he says, you know what? I'm a fool when I talk this way. Every single one of us sometimes, I believe, has questioned the goodness of God. Because you know what? We're still not married. We still don't have the job we want. We still are struggling with a sickness or a disease. We still are, you know what, struggling in our marriages. We're still having issues. And I'm here to remind you of the goodness of God, that our calling is to praise God when we're going up the hill and praise God when we're going down the hill. Psalm 73, look what it says. Truly, truly, he recognized what he should. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. Listen, he's saying, man, I got caught up in this. I kept on looking at the unrighteous and being ticked at God. I blew it. I want you to notice what he says right away. This is the problem. Truly, God is good. What is the truth? God is good, and he's good all the time. That's the truth he declares. But look what he says, and such is a pure heart. For as for me, I blew it. My feet had almost stumbled. I almost, watch this, I almost allowed Satan to trick me. Listen, if you want to start to curse God, then you can do that. God will let you do it. But I'm here to say, Christians, let's not stumble. Let's recognize God is good all the time. God is good. Let's recognize that, yes, you might be going through something. Go through it. And praise God at the start and praise God at the finish and watch God's goodness in your life. Amen. For I was envious of the boastful. Don't be envious of the boastful. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for these are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. He's talking about the unrighteous. They are not in trouble as other men, nor as they plague like other men. Verse 6:6. Therefore, pride serves as their neck plate lace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with I don't know what that is. Sorry. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wildly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue walks through the earth. Why is he? So, because it seems. Everybody say seems. They're doing all this ungodly stuff, and it seems like they're getting away with it. Therefore, his people return here, and the waters of the full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? I can do this, and listen, I can get away with this. And it seems, watch this, guys, it seems like they are getting away with it. And is their knowledge... And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? God don't know what's going on. Behold, watch this. What's behold mean? It means look. Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. What's up with that? And I'm doing good. You know what? I don't steal from my company. That guy, you know what, when I worked in the grocery store, it tripped me out. Because I would work with managers, and the district manager would come in, and they'd be, oh, yes, sir, absolutely, yes, ma'am. The customer would come up, and they'd go, oh, where's the mustard? Oh, let me show you. You know what? Take them to the mustard. You know what I mean? That's when the district manager is there. But when the district manager would leave, the reason why the clerks were so rude to the customers was because the managers were so rude to the customers. You know what? I'd hear the management say, you know what? We got a big sign, bathroom over there. What's the big deal? Somebody comes in, they don't know where the bathroom is. And I'd see these managers. And these managers, you know what? It used to just tick me off because I used to just think, hey, why don't you just be nice to the customers? They're paying your salary. Oh, you can say amen to this. But they would act all sweet when the district managers were there. But as soon as the district managers were, because I'd see how they really acted. And guess what? And they'd get a promotion. I remember this one guy, he was fifth man, fourth man, second man. I was like, oh, I missed third man. He kept on getting promoted. And I thought, oh my goodness, you should never be promoting this guy. Have you ever seen that? I remember one manager, you know what? He just tried to antagonize all the employees. He would just, you'd go to get your check on your day off, and you'd knock on the door, and it'd open the door, and you'd say, can I have my check? And it'd say, you know what? I'm busy right now. I mean, it was just crazy. He would antagonize. And I remember when he got transferred, it was like, all the employees were like, yeah! I walked in the store, and I was like, ah! You know, I'll call him Mike to you know what, to protect the guilty. But I was like, hey, you know, I walked in the store, and they're like, hey, guess what? Mike got transferred. We're like, yes, Mike got transferred. Hello? But it would just trip me out. Why do these evil people continue to get promoted? Verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who are at ease. They increase in riches. Now look at verse 16. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm righteous. I go to church. I bring the tithe, and it doesn't make any difference. They don't do any of that, and they're prospering, and I'm not. For all day long I have been plagued, chastised every morning. If I, watch this. Here's, you're going to see the change back. If I said I speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. What's he saying? He's saying, guys, if I would continue to speak like that, that is wrong. And I would be untrue to the children that are watching me. Can I tell you, parents, grandparents, Watch what comes out of your mouth, because your kids are listening. Be careful to always speak about the goodness of God when you're going uphill and when you're going downhill. Then I thought how to understand this. Then, watch this. Then I started to think, wait a minute, what's really going on? You know what tripped me out? I can't tell you how many times those managers that would be promoted and promoted and promoted, if I'd look at it long enough, guess what? They'd get fired. They would get fired. Listen, God is long-suffering. But don't ever confuse long-suffering with forever suffering. Because there is a day when the righteous will reap what they sow. And there is a day that the wicked will reap what they sow. And God is good through it all. Amen. You say, oh, they're getting away with it. David's saying, listen, I've seen it. They get away with nothing. It seems like they're getting away with this. But I started to get understanding. Remember, he almost fell. Why? Because he was thinking God the wrong way. Let me tell you about God. Don't be deceived. The New Testament says this. Don't be deceived. God won't be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. So listen to me, moms who are being gracious to their kids and continue to pray for their kids. You keep on praying for your kids. Don't grow weary. You know what? Wives. And you know what? And you're faithful to come to church and to bring your kids to church and to bring your grandkids to church. You know what? And your husband keeps on staying home. You know what? He cares more about all of these things, all kinds of things. And you keep on asking him and asking him. You ask him kindly. You ask him not kindly. You yell at him. You pull him. You beg him. You do all this. Just keep on being righteous. Just keep on being faithful. Employees, and you got other employees. This happened to me at work all the time. You know what? All these employees that I'm working around, and they're doing next to nothing. They're just kicking back as much as they can, working just hard enough not to get fired. And that put all this other work on me. You know what? Don't grow weary in doing good. You're not working for that company. You're working as unto the Lord. Amen. The God put you in that place to not, listen, God put you in that place not only to be able to have something to give, the Bible says, but part of your giving is giving an example to all these crazy people around you. You're the example. Why do you care so much about the customers? Why do you care so much about, you know what, about other things? Care about doing a good job. Let me tell you what, because I'm a Christian, because I love God, I'm different than the world. Listen, guys, we are different than the world. Stop looking at them with an expectation of, oh, I wish I was like them. I don't wish I was like them. And he says, David says, I got understanding what's really going to happen. I understand what's really going to happen. Verse 16, then I thought how to understand this. It was too painful for me. I had to think through it until I went into the sanctuary of God. Oh, come on, somebody. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. I went to hope. I was under the stage structure. You know what? And I got understanding. Pastor reminded me that God is good all the time. That don't grow weary in doing good. God reminded me through Pastor that, you know what? All I have to do is continue. That God will deliver me from all of my troubles. That's what Pastor reminded me. I came into the sanctuary and I got revelation of the goodness of what really was true. Come on, somebody out here, praise God with me. His goodness. God is good all the time. So I don't need to be deceived. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore. Having done all to stand, I've got to stand therefore. Listen, I've got to come in a revelation. Here's what the Bible says. Resist Satan. And he's going to flee. See, there's times that you've got to stand up and recognize, oh my goodness, God is good. All the time God is good. And Satan is trying to discourage me in my marriage. Satan is trying to discourage me in my finance. Satan is trying to discourage me in my physical health. But God is going to deliver me out of all these situations. I'm going to listen. Yeah, maybe when I accepted God, the Bible doesn't promise that everything is going to go perfect. But maybe this is just an opportunity for people to see the glory of God. That's what Paul says. I glory in my, what? Infirmities. Man. My spouse has been, I'm not testifying right now. Somebody says, my spouse has been very difficult. Praise God. And you look more like Jesus than you would if you married anybody else. No, really. Amen. People say, yeah, but what about the apostles? What about the apostles, guys? We just read this. Did we not just read this? See, don't be deceived. Yeah, but the apostles gave up everything. I know. But when we get to heaven, you know what we're going to see? You know what Jesus promised? The apostles. Let me tell you about the apostles. The apostles are going to be on, how many read this? Thrones. 12 thrones. You say, yeah, but Pastor, God didn't notice what I was doing here. Did you not read the Bible? You don't do one thing good that God doesn't notice. You don't get one, you know what, some little child, you know what? Some little child does, you just get them a drink of water. God writes it down. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews? That you must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Stop thinking evil. Stop thinking that your seeds of righteousness sown because you love God and love other people is going to go unnoticed. Stop thinking when you want to tell your spouse off, but you shut your mouth and think, I don't care that they dig me. I'm not going to dig them back. I'm going to look at what I can apologize for on my side of the street. How many know, trust me, there's plenty junk on your side of the street. Yeah, but it's mostly her fault. It's mostly his fault. You know what? But I've been doing this for, stop thinking that because God is good to your spouse and gracious and patient with your spouse, stop calling him evil for that. No. That's not your place. Don't grow weary in doing good. Having done all to stand, just stand there for. Why? Because it's going to change. Don't envy the unrighteous. Don't envy the wicked. Don't think, I just got to get it off my chest. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The Bible tells you to be, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is edifying for the hearer. That's what the Word of God says. Listen to me, children of God, you continue to be faithful to God. You continue to be loving to other people, people that are kind to you and people that are not kind to you. And watch what'll happen. Watch what'll happen. And don't have a McDonald's mentality. I'm tired of this. You know, Tamara, out in the middle of the parking lot, you know what, it's 9 o'clock, then it's 10 o'clock, then it's 11 o'clock. It's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. She's picking weeds. You know why? Because she loves you. Satan would have you grow weary in doing good. And she got up and she said, that's enough. I ain't doing this no more. And God spoke to her and said, who asked you? It's our position just to say, yes, sir. I love to love other people. And let me tell you what, it's just your flesh who wants, you know what, how many ever got in an argument with somebody and on the way home, you were just thinking about all the good things you should have said to that person? I set you all up. I said, all the good things. Those aren't good things. Those are evil things. What's going on? You're just giving room to the flesh to breed and to, oh my goodness, no. Thank God you just kept your mouth shut. Be slow to speak, quick to hear. I wanna turn to one more scripture real quickly. And you know this scripture, it's in Isaiah. But I quote it so many times, but I want to read it, and I want to read the full verse, not just the part that we quote most of the time. Isaiah 54, and look at verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Doesn't seem like it's changing, I know, but just stick with it. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. But look at this second part, what it says. Look what it says. And every tongue which rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. You need to say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And these people are saying this about my marriage, but let me tell you what, my marriage is gonna thrive. See, you've got to speak back to Satan. You've got to tell him, when that man who was there for his child, and he went, and right in the middle of this, the woman with the issue of blood comes and delays him. And then those people come up to him and say, hey, don't bother the master. She's dead already. I'm telling you what, every single one of us have choices in our life where it seems like it's not going the way that God would have it to go. And Jesus said to him, and Jesus is saying to you today, Jesus said, you know what? And I believe Jesus got right on his face and said, you listen. You stay right here. Just believe me. He marched to his house. You know what? Took the man with him. And as he's getting to the house, there's all these people and they're mourners. And they're crying and weeping and making, of course, it's a sad day. This I don't know, 12-year-old died. See, Pastor, I know. Listen, Pastor, I know. It's too late. Bible says with God all things are possible. Yeah, but my husband. Yeah, but my wife. Yeah, but my doctor. Yeah, but dabba. Speak. Listen, I wrote this in my notes. You know what? Satan has a report. God has a report too. God has a report too. So if you're going through it, you know what? Now is not the time to start to put your judgment on God that he can't. You know, think about the Israelites. The Israelites, and this happens in our life. It's like, oh, my life's bad. Oh, my life's good. Oh, my life's bad again. How many can relate to what I'm saying? They're like, oh, they're in bondage. They're in slavery. Evil. God delivers them with all this gold. You know what I mean? You talk about bling, man. They're walking out with bling. And they're walking out and God has delivered them. Yay, we're delivered. And next thing you know, they look and the mightiest army is after them. And they're up against the Red Sea. How many of those people said? How many know some of those people could say? How many know if you were there, what you might have said? Well, why did God bring us out here with our children to kill us? You know what? In all the Old Testament, where I see God getting probably more upset than any place in the whole Old Testament, is when the Israelites are claiming, that God has brought them out there to kill him, to kill them and their kids. And guess what God does? In the midst of thinking there's no way out, you have your back up against the wall, there's no way out, God says, I am the way out. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, I don't like to stop a service, end a service, that I don't give people an opportunity to accept Jesus. If you want to accept Jesus in your heart, if you want to become a Christian, today is your day. I want you to say this with me. Jesus, come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I believe that Jesus is the only way to be saved. And I want to make him my Lord today. Now, if you said that simple prayer, we believe you got born again today. You know what? I encourage you. Give us 1 year. Start coming every Sunday. You know what? Get on the internet. Watch us on Wednesday. Let myself and my wife and the team of pastors here start to raise you up and watch what will happen in your life. Now, one more thing before we're dismissed. If this message has touched you in any way, in a big way, in a little way, big repentance, little repentance. How many know you might just make a little adjustment? How many know a little adjustment sometimes can make a total difference in your life? So if that's you, I want to pray with you. I want you to raise your hand. One of the reasons you're raising your hand, watch this. The Bible says, repent that times of refreshing might come. We need to think and say, man, this message was for me. I need to repent. If that's you, you know what? Don't be ashamed. That's why God got you here today. Don't go down to the lake and then not get in the canoe. Amen. God wants to deliver you today. But if you're too prideful, you say, Pastor, why are you spending? Because we got to be humble. God resists the proud. You say, but Pastor, that was good for me to hear. But listen, if it's not you, it's okay. You're doing, that's praise the Lord. But if it's you, get your hands up and my hands up. Father, I thank you for these who are saying, you know what, in a big way, in a little way, we are apologizing for ever accusing you of ever not having the best plan for us. And we thank you, Father, that we are moving forward. And whether we're going uphill or whether we're going downhill, we are going to praise you because you are worthy of praise today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.